the Truly Amazing Women Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, the voice of entrepreneurs. In each episode of the show, we shine a spotlight on the women who are making strides and changing lives. Hello, and welcome to the Truly Amazing Women Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, the voice of entrepreneurs. On today's show, we are thrilled to be talking with Michelle Muska, a fiber artist based in Connecticut who speaks in textures. She lives, creates, and works in a colorful world where fibers and textiles tell her story. Michelle created her own company, Luray.com, over a decade ago to showcase her fanciful creations, wearable art, quilts, and adornments. But that's her side business. By day, she's the marketing communications matter for Simplicity Creative Group and their family of brands, which includes Simplicity Patterns, which most people know, Wrights, Boy, Easy Quilting, Conso, and British Trimmings. And she's going to tell us a lot about what Simplicity's up to. Then during the last 7 years, she's helped in the development and design of new products, implemented educational opportunities, and worked with customers to provide a clear vision of how Simplicity Creative Group can foster and inspire creativity in the individual. Michelle has had a long career, starting as a recreational therapist in the art field, and we have so much to talk about your background. But first, let's welcome you to the Truly Amazing Women Show, Michelle. We are so glad to have you here.
Oh, well, thanks, Hope. I'm so excited to be here, and it's great to be thinking that I can share my pie story with your listeners and also to talk about Joe Packham's beautiful book, which, of course, I'm thrilled to be on the cover, and maybe I can tell you a little bit about how I got there.
That's exactly one of the first questions we have for you, because your amazing pie, which you name all your pies, you told us, and this one is the Midsummer Night's Dream pie, and it landed on the cover of Pieography, which is our food column this month in the December 2013 issue of Being Candescent magazine. So let's in addition to all the amazing stuff you do in the crafting world, let's go first to your pie. Tell us about Midsummer Night's Dream cream pie.
Well, a rhubarb pie in my family is kind of famous. It goes back to my mom made it, my grandmother made it, and it's made with a custard filling, eggs and sugar and butter, you know, all put together and blended and poured over the fruit. So it's not like that really syrupy sweet pie. But, of course, I'm an artist. I'm an embellisher. I can't leave anything alone. So I took my pie and just started adding all different kinds of things to it. And my favorite creation was the one with peaches and raspberries. So basically, when Joe asked me to be in the book, which I was thrilled and excited, and basically she asked me because she heard I named my pies, and she thought that was pretty interesting. So basically, when I had to start talking about and writing my biography for the pie book, I looked at, you know, what the different fruits represent. And basically, the rhubarb, which we grow in our garden, which is, you know, awesome because we know it's organic, is like this tart fruit. And, you know, I like to kind of still think of myself as a kind of tart, sassy gal, you know, and likes to have fun. But also the leaves are poisonous. And if you read the biography, when you pick up the book, you'll see that, you know, I mentioned, you know, if you do anything bad to my kids, I might chop those poisonous leaves up and put them in your salad. And then the peaches kind of represent my sweet side because, you know, I am, you know, people think I'm sweet, but I do spend a lot of time with my family and friends. And I think, you know, I have dimples and, you know, I think that kind of goes with the peaches. And then raspberries is really represents me as an artist. Raspberries are sensitive, but they're also fleeting. You have to use them right away or they go bad. And it's kind of like so many ideas that just kind of constantly pour out of my ADD brain. It's if I don't use them up, they're gone, but there's always plenty more there. So,
and that's exactly what this pie book, Pieography, it chronicles 42 recipes by 39 amazing women, and it gives their story, and they also talk about their life as their pie, and that's what you're just sharing with us. So tell us a little bit more about how you came to have your pie on the cover.
Oh, well, it was really great. When Joe asked me to be in the book, I was, like, kind of surprised because I'm not really known as a cook. I'm known more as an artist. And I, you know, sent the recipe in, and I sent my story in, and that was a great opportunity for me. It was kind of last minute. She said she was pretty much had her book buttoned up. So I was, like, still surprised when she sent me the PDF of you know, the designed piece. I was like, oh my gosh, I really am going to be in this book. And so I met her at a trade show for breakfast one day, and I sat down. She was already there, and there was the menu, and I went and picked up my menu, and there was the pie book underneath it. It was hot off the press, and it had my pie on the front cover. And it was just so thrilling. And I have to say that, you know, I think a few people in the book had asked her, you know, like, who's this person? You know, they're cooks and they're food critics. And they're like, well, we don't know this Michelle Muska. She's not in the food world. But, you know, I think my pie is just a very classic looking pie with the lattice, you know, sugary top. And I just think it makes for a great cover, because it wouldn't be on the cover unless I think the publishers really felt it would help sell the book. So I was just, you know, I think I just couldn't be happier with that. That was just very exciting.
That is wonderful. And we're referencing Joe Packham, who's the author of this book and the creator of Where Women Create, Where Women Cook, and Where Women Create Business. She is a phenom and very impressive. And actually the reason that you and I met, because she hired me to come down and speak at the International Quilters Conference in Houston this year. And that's where you and I connected, because we sat on a panel together. So that was exciting and thrilling. And you kept showing off the pie book. And I'm like, I have to see more of that. And this is truly the best Christmas gift you can give, right?
I'm sorry.
This is definitely the best Christmas gift you can give. 42 pie recipes, right?
I give it all the time. I order. I have like stacks of them. I gave them to my yoga club for Christmas. I just, you know, I run across people and I know that they like to cook, and I just always have a few extra. I mean, it's really a great book, because it's also a reading book. You know, you can sit and on the couch with your blanket and tea and really read, you know, some really funny and great stories about people. So I think it offers a lot. It's not just a recipe book.
Yeah, but it's totally charming. But I'm telling you, these recipes are unbelievable. And the photography is magnificent, right? So you can't, it's good on all levels. So let's talk a little bit about your history as a cook. We said in the introduction that you are clearly a crafter and that you have your own business and you work for Simplicity. You are clearly a busy lady. But let's go back to your heart and your soul. You have two sons, two grown sons, and a husband. You live in Connecticut, and you are a master cook.
Well, yeah, I think cooking, I grew up with cooking. It's kind of funny, you know, when I look back when I was young, I mostly baked, and I left the cooking to my parents and my brother, but I always was around my grandmother, who's Czechoslovakian, and I would watch her make all our traditional foods. And so it wasn't until I kind of went off to college that I really started, you know, cooking more like regular food for dinner and entrees, you know, instead of just desserts. And it kind of came naturally. It just happened. It just seemed like it was in me, and I think it was because I'd like to experiment. I do look at cooking as an art form and a process, and I'm a process driven artist, so I just really enjoy, you know, everything about it. I love to go grocery shopping because I travel a lot, and when I come home, one of the things I do is I go grocery shopping. I love that because it makes me think about what I'm going to make, who I'm going to make it with, you know, and who for who. You know, I always make sure, even if I'm really busy, the most important thing is to have my family and friends over for dinner. And I really instilled this in my children as well. And I think that, you know, now they're grown men and they are wonderful cooks, and they brew beer and make hard cider and wine. But I think it's just the sense of family and community that food creates that I think I've instilled in them, and that we manage to keep going. And if I have any advice for families with and moms with children, is to try to make sure you have family dinner together as much as possible. I think food really brings people together. It comforts people, excites people. It's visually exciting. So I think it just has so much to offer. So.
Yeah, especially if you're good at it, like you are. I like to just go to people's houses like yours. So tell us, what are you making for Thanksgiving? It's a week away, right?
Well, Thanksgiving is a joint effort. It actually was always my holiday at my house, but my niece recently purchased a really nice New England old-fashioned farmhouse. So we're taking turns, and this year it's there. So it was a little hard for me to give that holiday up, but I was really excited to do so. And where she has Thanksgiving is just really beautiful. It's a beautiful spot. It's in the woods. It has a barn. And so I still, of course, have to bring my pies. So my specialty at Thanksgiving is pumpkin pie, and I use the Moosewood Cookbook pie. Mm. It's a really excellent recipe, and you can even make it, if you're afraid of crust, you can even make it without a crust in a bowl, and it makes it delicious, like pumpkin pudding. And then, of course, everybody wants me to do the traditional apple, and we have an apple tree in our backyard at Granny Smith's, and I use those apples, and I have a cousin who has a wonderful orchard nearby, Apple Brook Farms. And we go there and buy our apples, and I like to put at least 5 or 6 different types of apples in one pie because I think it just gives it great flavor. And then I'll do an apple pie with either maybe some pears and cranberries in it as well. And then so those are kind of desserts. I also make, besides pie, I also make date crumbles, which is an old family recipe from the 50s. So and then we're in charge of a few other things, but I don't have to do the turkey. I have to say turkey's not my strong point. I'm kind of disappointed in myself, but so I'm kind of happy my niece does the turkey now. So, and I get to do the fun stuff.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's very exciting. I want to come to your house for Thanksgiving.
You can.
So tell us, how did you get, so let's talk a little bit about your craft life. So how did you get into the craft business?
Well, I've always crafted. My mom recently told me, I was writing an article, I think it might have been for Joe, for the studio article on Where Women Create, and she happened to mention, and she never did before, is that when she would open the door in the morning when I was even like 4 or 5 years old, I was already up making something. I was trying to knit or make felt clothes for my troll dolls, or I was making collage, or I was doing something. So it's just always been in me to try to create every day. And then I went to college, and I was a fine arts major, and I focused on photography and painting mostly. But when I got married and had a family, I really, you know, didn't have time to be a painter anymore. I needed more room. It was messy. And so I kind of gravitated toward fibers and crafts. And so what happened with the crafting end of it, my sister-in-law and I, we would need some extra Christmas money, and we always would think of some new idea, and we would make it, and we'd go to these craft shows, and we'd be, like, really successful. And from that, I started a wedding line. I did hand-painted wedding guest books and invitations, and I did that for many years. And heirloom kind of books and things like that. And then it just kind of segued into a friend of mine saw my work and kind of suggested, how about, you know, coming to work for their company. And that kind of segued me into working for Right Simplicity. But that also helped me realize how much more was out there as far as trims and everything. So that kind of also got me started on my Lola Ray line of purses and bags, which are all one of a kind, individually and handmade, with layers of trims and leather and studs and lace. And you can see some of those on my website, lolaray.com. So, you know, it kind of, I think, evolved, and I'm a type of person that even with my gardening, I'm always looking for, you know, other things that I can make something out of. You know, my mind just kind of never stops, and so I think it kind of grew because I was always looking for something more to do. It's kind of like, you know, a lot of people say they can't understand why some people have so many unfinished projects laying around. Because I think we're a society that has, you know, everybody's concentrating on the finished product. But, you know, it's really the process that's really the fun part for artists, and it's also good for your brain physiologically. So I think that, you know, that was always in me to do more and different things. And it just kind of happened, I think. So. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's kind
of
how I work.
No, of course it makes sense. It's actually quite brilliant and incredibly intuitive to know that you just needed to keep creating. And let me just mention to our listeners that it's lolaray.com. That's L-O-L-A-R-A-E.com. And truly, I've seen your work it is magnificent, Michelle. Everyone should definitely check this out. You are just an incredible woman. So let's talk a little bit about the business of being a crafter. It's clearly, I have a line of jewelry, Chakra Jewelry by Hope, and I used to have a company called Great Handmade Gifts where I represented artists online, and this is not an easy way to make a living. But what are some of your challenges and fears to go full-time and full force with Lola Rae? What holds you back from doing that?
Well, I think mostly just because it's making the jump into that. And I think that depending on what kind of support you have financially will help you make a decision on whether you can do that or not. And for me, I think that might be somewhere in my future. But for right now, I mean, you know, I do depend on, you know, having a regular paycheck. And, you know, it really takes quite a bit of time to build a business. And I look at building my business, Lola Rae, as kind of a slow burn. It's something that really grows organically for me, and that's fine for me. But for someone that really wants to take it full time, I think that they just really need to try to remember to be realistic. And I don't know how this will sound, but also try never to appear desperate to anybody. There's something about being really needy that scares people off when you're meeting with them and taking opportunities. But also really be true to your art and who you are, and never give control up of your brand, because really your brand and your art in the long run is all you really have. And I think that you want to make sure that if you do end up making it big, that you can really deliver. So, and if you're very creative and you're true to your art, you will always be able to pull something else new out of you, because that's who you are and you're creative and you can do that. And I think that's what's really important. You know, I know people in the business that have done really well and kind of on the backs of other people's ideas. And, you know, if you have people that work for you, and that's understandably okay, on both ends, and that's fine. But if it's really about yourself and your work, that you have to make sure that you really keep that in check, and to really not be afraid of other people. I mean, I think making connections and meeting people, especially if you can face to face, is one of the most important things you can do for your brand and your business. And just don't be afraid to do that. And make sure you take your opportunities. I know when we were on our panel together at Quilt Market and Festival Hope with Joe on the branding and letting people know who you are, I talked a lot about taking opportunities and being prepared for that. And I think you have to be mentally prepared. And, you know, maybe you have never done something before, but you know what? If you know it's going to be good for your brand, say yes and then jump in and do it. And then get your friends or your coworkers to support you and help you prepare for that. And if you really feel that you're not up for it, pass that opportunity on to a fellow designer or friend. And that will usually come back to you, you know, twice fold. People will remember you're a connector, you're kind to others, you know. It's kind of like the old adage of what you learned in kindergarten in the sandbox. You know, you really do need to play nice with others, and people will remember that, and you more than likely will be rewarded for that in the future.
Mm. That's great advice, and you were wonderful on the panel. I know that everyone in the audience really appreciated your insight and wisdom.
Now, that was the first time I ever did a panel, and I was nervous, but I knew that it was important. I knew that if Joe had asked me to be on the panel, that she thought I had something to offer. So I really thought, I have to rise to the occasion and do this, you know? And that's like the thing I'm talking about, is really make sure you do that for yourself. And doing it for yourself and nobody else, I think, is really what's important. So.
Yep, stay true to yourself. Go for it. Always say yes. Those are some of the big mantras at the Incandescent Group. I'm always shocked by people who say no. Like, why? Yes is always the answer, unless it's really egregious. You know, yes, say yes. Make it work.
Say no. I mean, when you asked me to do this, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Yes, 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 you know.
Yeah, you have to be brave in this life, right? What else you got?
Exactly.
And that actually brings us to another question. I think a reason a lot of people, especially women, say no is that because they're moms, they have kids, they have husbands, they probably have careers, or they're trying, or they don't have careers and they're struggling maybe a little bit with that, at least unconsciously, subconsciously, or in their hearts. So if you could offer a few tips to people who want to accomplish all the things that you have, what would they be?
Well, I think basically what we just talked about kind of sums it up, you know, the whole being true to yourself and your art and taking the opportunities. And I think just making sure that you still make time for yourself and your family and your friends. It is really hard. I travel all the time. And in the beginning, what I found out is when I came back, you know, I still thought I was in charge, you know, and I was like, what's going on here? And everyone was like, you know, you're not really here that much anymore. They kind of went on with their life without me. And so I had to make a conscious effort, and my husband and I did too, when I was at home, to make sure that we spent time together and made time for that, because that's one of the things that you will never get back. You can never get back the time that you want to carve out for yourself, for your art, or for your family.
Yes, and in fact, when we were in Houston, you were talking about that. Your husband sent you an email saying he wanted to take you on a romantic getaway, even if it was for one day, to just go be together.
And it's sometimes all it is one day, you know, and it's just being together and, you know, going to one of your favorite spots and, you know, and I have to say, he always wants to go out to breakfast, and I just ate out 30 times. I always want to go to breakfast, but you know what? I do it, you know, and because he's very supportive of me. I'm extremely lucky. He's very supportive of me and my mom, who I live actually next door to my mom, which was always wonderful for my kids. She's been a champion for me, always, you know, supporting me creatively. And my boys, too, just knowing that they respect me and they call me an artist, that they really, truly believe. I mean, they called me an artist before I let myself call myself an artist. You know, it's kind of a fearful thing, you know, and I don't know if it's all women or women from my generation. I kind of look at the younger women that I'm surrounded with, and I feel like they're so fortunate that they have this confidence about them. I don't always know how they feel inside, you know, but they certainly appear to have that. And I'm hoping that my generation helped give them that confidence, raising, you know, young men and women as knowing, you know, to be respectful of themselves as well.
Mm. Yes, that's awesome. You know, and I do think it is true that one generation gives the confidence and the belief in yourself to the other. And, you know, and I think, you know, I think you're just a little tiny bit older than I am, but I think that women, you're in that just slightly older sector, it was sort of shunned to brag, right? I think a woman at the quilting thing said that, right, when we were talking.
Yes.
So, you know, now it's all about that Facebook, look at me, you know, look at me in my bedroom making pouty face. You know, I know that's true of my teenage daughter, you know. So it's definitely a generational thing. I agree with you on that. But what I heard you say that I think is so beautiful is that not only do the generations teach each other, but they support each other. So even if you feel like you can't call yourself an artist, you can probably call someone else an artist. And that will give them the confidence to say, well, maybe I am, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So last question for you, because we really appreciate you being here. What are your hopes and dreams for your future?
Well, you know, I think probably just listening to me talk for a few minutes, obviously it's all about having time for my art, but especially for my family and friends. But also to be proud of how I kind of behaved in the industry and how I, you know, connect and help other people. Like, I want to continue doing that because I think it's really important. And I think probably the most important for me is to continue making my art and to be successful in the goals I set in that world for me, to be successful in that for myself and no one else. Because I think if I reach my goals, whatever they are, and feel successful in them, that will make me kind of drive me to do a little bit more. And I think that's all we can ask ourselves for, in the long run.
Right? That's just try and be the best you can be and be better, a little bit better, or a little bit kinder to yourself every day.
Right. We definitely need to be kinder to ourselves. I think we're all as women, are pretty hard on ourselves. I think we should give your listeners like the permission to be kind to yourself.
And is there a better thing that you can do on Thanksgiving? Maybe make the mince number summer night's dream pie.
Right. I know. Thanksgiving is just a wonderful time. And it's funny. And then Christmas is right around the corner. And we don't even make pie at Christmas. It's kind of odd. But we make a English sausage spinach pie and then kind of go back to our Czechoslovakian roots for our desserts, which are these things called kolaj and kolačky, and they're filled with poppy seeds and nuts and prunes and apricots. And we make a lot of libations too for the holidays. We make rhubarb cordial and Swedish 40-40, and we make a Molly Hufka, which is my friend's Polish recipe for raspberry vodka that her Grammy brought over on the boat from Poland. And my grandparents came over from Czechoslovakia and brought all of their wonderful, recipes that I really cherish as well. So kind of always comes back to food.
It does. But hey, I think that's another idea for Joe to create what Where Women Cook is cordials. That sounds fantastic.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, we'll have to pitch
her
to her.
Do soup too. So.
Soup. Oh, now you're speaking my song. I'm Jewish, so I'm all about the soup.
And soup is my other specialty in my family. It's pie and soup. But no one will make corn chowder. They said I'm just going to go to Shelley's house for that. And and my other one is a kind of a sausage spinach soup that everybody really likes. So yeah, what's better than soup around this time of year too? I don't know. It's cold where I am, so.
Yeah, it's cold today. It's weird. D.C. is sort of in this global warming thing, so we're hot, we're cold, we're cold. But thank you so much for your time, Michelle.
Oh, you're so welcome. It was just such a pleasure, and it was very easy to talk with you, Hope, and to, share my thoughts and feelings. So I thank you for that, and, I hope your listeners enjoy listening in as well.
Absolutely. And what they're going to enjoy as well is your Midsummer Night's Dream Pie, which we're featuring in the December 2013 issue of BeIncandescent.com, along with a handful of other recipes from Pieography, where biography meets pie, which is just incredible, by Joe Packham, the creator and founder of Where Women Cook, Where Women Create, and Where Women Create Business. So thank you again, Michelle. And we're going to sign off now for the Truly Amazing Women Show on the Incandescent Radio Network at www.incandescentradio.com, the voice of entrepreneurs. We'll look forward to talking to you soon. All right. That's it for today's episode of the Truly Amazing Women Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, the voice of entrepreneurs. If you're a truly amazing woman or know someone who is, don't hesitate to contact us. Simply log on to www.trulyamazingwomen.com and fill out the proposal form. We've profiled more than 250 women on the site who fit the bill of being truly amazing, and we look forward to honoring more. Who will be our next truly amazing woman? Tune in next week for a new episode on www.incandescentradio.com. Here's to your incredible, indelible success.